Nau mai, haere mai, and welcome to Full Disclosure, a Stuff and KL Productions podcast with me, Karen O'Leary. In this series, I talk with all sorts of amazing and famous Kiwis to find out how coming out was for them. This week on Full Disclosure, I talk to ex-All Black Campbell Johnstone.
Yeah, I was honestly a bit naive, and I honestly thought we'd only just sort of be a little bit of a media bite, and that would be it. Jo Malcolm, the media liaison that was with me, she was instrumental in helping me with the coming out. When it all went big, I was like, whoa, it went quite big. She's like, yeah, no, I knew it was. And I said, well, why didn't you tell me that? She said, well, probably because you would have ran for the hills.
Yeah, she didn't want you to change your mind. Good on Jo Malcolm. I'd like to give her a big pat on the back. Kia ora and welcome to Full Disclosure. And today I am very excited. I'm pumped, in fact, to have with me Campbell Johnstone, who's an ex-All Black and the first All Black to come out as gay. And certainly there was a lot of media attention around that. So, Campbell, I'm just so happy that you agreed to talk to me. How are you today?
I'm great, thank you. And thanks for having me on the show. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, look, like I said just before we started recording, wait till we get to the end and hopefully you'll still say, gosh, what a pleasure that was. But I'm sure it will be. It definitely will be from my part, yeah. So, like I said, It is pretty massive, I guess, and you must know this. As the only ever All Black to have come out as gay, did you feel immense pressure when you came out in the media?
I don't know if there was immense pressure. It was, I sort of come to the conclusion that the timing was right for me. So I guess I sort of thought I was comfortable with it. And I was honestly a bit naive, and I honestly thought that it would, you know, we'd only just sort of be a little bit of a media bite and that would be it. And it would just mainly be New Zealand and Australian rugby public at the max. Yes. And but in all honesty, it took off and it flew around the world.
You went global, Campbell. You were global.
Superstar. gay rugby player, and this week global for being gay. I guess that was just more built around the how powerful the brand, the All Black name brand is. I think that was more to the point of why that sort of drove it that fast and quickly and widespread, you know. And then Joe Malcolm, the media liaison that was with me when I was in the Crusaders and Canterbury and the All Blacks, and also she's still now still with the All Blacks, she was instrumental in helping me with the coming out, you know, and organising it and just doing it on the right platform and everything. And it was quite funny because I sort of said, oh, you know, this won't go very far. And she sort of nodded and went, yeah, you know, it won't. And then after it, when it all went big, I was like, whoa, it went quite big. She's like, yeah, no, I knew it was. And I said, well, why didn't you tell me that? She said, well, probably because you would have ran for the hills.
Yeah, she didn't want you to change your mind, which was, is her name Joe, did you say?
Yes, Joe Malcolm.
Good on Joe Malcolm. I'd like to give her a big pat on the back. And I guess we will go back to talking about, obviously, the All Blacks and the brand and being a high-profile sports person that has come out as gay, and maybe especially more so as a man I'm picking, and we can talk about that too. But I want to go back to the start before we get to the end, because it makes heaps more sense to me.
Yeah.
Could you just first of all tell me just a bit about yourself? Who do you live with? Who do you, anyone special? I know there is, but I just want you to tell me.
Yes, I live with my partner. We got recently engaged last month. We got engaged together, and we live together in Napier. Yeah, no, that's, he's been very supportive, and he's a big part of my life. Yeah, so it's been really good.
Well, I did actually, obviously I read up about your engagement when it happened. It was incredibly romantic, Campbell. So I'm just worrying for you. Like, do you feel like the pressure is now going to be on the wedding being absolutely spectacular? Have you got like, are you guys, do one of you become the groomzilla, or are you both just, how does that work?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Ben and I jokingly, you know, to take fun out of each other and say, well, you'll be wearing the dress and things like that. The really one that got was sort of baffled both of us was like, you know, like who, which name do you take? Which last name do you take? I mean, what's the go there? We weren't really sure on that. So
well, look, Campbell,
maybe
actually,
we'll just draw straws.
I think you get to choose. I mean, as someone who because I love to keep trying things until I get them right. I've been married twice and I'm now engaged to someone different. So, you know, I feel like, yes and no. Yeah. I think, again, it's that interesting thing maybe in this is being gay. I think sometimes taking your husband's name is quite a heteronormative thing to do. So as gay people getting married, are we just sort of doing the same thing, and should we be doing the same thing, or do you just want to have the same last name as your lovely partner?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. We thought about maybe combining our last names and going with, because his last name is Thompson and my last name is Johnstone. So we could do something like Tom Stone or Tombstone or something like that.
You know? See, that's actually quite cool. I'd go with that. Or other words, it's Johnson. Yeah. Now, obviously, I'm not presuming anything. I'm going to ask you the questions, then I'll know the answers. Talk to me a bit about, obviously, you were in the closet while you were playing rugby as an All Black. Can you just tell me a bit about, first of all, when you knew within yourself that you were gay?
Yeah, so I was, in the closet when I was playing rugby, and then slowly came out while I was playing rugby to teammates and my family and that, but always kept it out of the public and never in the media. I first, honestly, I first sort of had an inkling of my sexuality probably was when I was like 13 and 15. And I remember, I sort of remember the whole situation and how much it scared me and shocked me. I remember my friends talking about, girls and how pretty, this girl is, and how, how good, look at that on her. And I remember thinking to myself, I don't really see that, but I've seen a couple of good-looking guys around, and I was like, maybe I'm gay, and that scared me, and it scared me for the fact that I thought it was going to really derail my goal of, being an All Black and continuing in rugby. So, I did what every red-blooded male in New Zealand does, is just, push it down and bury it and forget about it. Don't have to deal with it.
Yeah.
I had a bit of a coping strategy, which I sort of nicknamed I'd go to the pub, which I would I'd procrastinate, undo it in my head, and then I'd just bury it deep down inside and wouldn't have to front it. And if it came back up, I'd just go to the pub again and procrastinate, undo it in my head and bury it.
Yeah, and ultimately, Campbell, do you think that was really good for you, or do you think maybe it could have been, if it was had been done differently, it could have been better? But I guess you can only do things as you can do them.
Yeah, that's right. I think I know now, and I realise that the coping strategy I was using was not healthy at all for anything in my life. So I learned from that, and I tend to think, if I was able to, or was more normalised, would have it been easier for me? I'm not sure, because my biggest battle wasn't the fact that I was scared about people around me. It was my battle that I had internally with myself. It didn't sit right with me. I don't know whether that was because because of society, but my battle was more of an internal one, with it not sitting correctly with me.
Yeah. So when you did tell your family, how did that go?
Yeah, that went surprisingly fine. No party or anything like that, no celebration. It was just, I think I went round to my parents' place because I wanted to tell them before I sort of told anyone when I was in my 20s, and I popped round and was having dinner, and it was a normal dinner setting where the mother, your mum's still trying to force more food into you and that stuff. And I just dropped it. I just said, oh, look, guys, I'm gay. And mum was like, oh, that's great. And dad said, oh, yeah, okay. And then mum went straight back to do you want some more peas? I was like, no, I don't want any more peas. but that's just the way they were. They're very relaxed and very laid back and very, just very understanding. I mean, another example of how laid back and blasé, I suppose blasé is the word, they were, is when I was selected into the All Blacks. We're all told the night before the team was going to be announced the next day, and you're allowed to go around and tell your parents. Yeah. And so I popped round, and we round to Mum and Dad's, and I walked in and just said, you know, how you going? And they're like, good, good. And I said, oh, yeah, I've laid the All Blacks. And Mum reacted the best. She sort of came over and gave me a hug. Dad carried on talking about whatever he was talking about. I think it was something about the Ducks or something. And then I remember him looking over and you know, you could see the wheels turning in his head, thinking, you know, why is Mum giving the boy a hug? What's he said when he came in the door? And then it dropped and he was just like, oh, that's fantastic. And I asked him about that. I was like, oh, you know, why, what were you guys sort of blasé about the All Blacks and that? And they say, oh, you know, oh, we just, Dad said, oh, we just didn't hear you and that. And I was like, oh, okay. I said, well, you know, what about when I told you when I was gay? And then Mum just turns around and she said, oh, well, we knew that.
Oh, so it was like, oh, such a great response. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay.
Because yeah. I guess like when you were, say when you're 14, 15, and we're a similar-ish age. Are you I'm 43-ish?
Yeah, I'm 43.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Karen. Great research. Gosh, I've done my work here. So when you were 14 or 15, what year was that? And who was in the All Blacks then is what I want to know.
Okay, so when I was 14 and 15, that was around 94, 95. And obviously 95 was the World Cup when it was in South.
We got poisoned. We got poisoned.
Yeah, that was the poisoned one.
In fact, I'm speaking to Ursula Carlson next. I'll ask her about that.
Yeah, I actually listened to her. Well, Ben and I listened to her podcast quite a bit. It's quite funny.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I'll say that you said hi. Yep. Yeah. Okay. So I was trying to get to it is if you were thinking that, you know, some guys were looking kind of good looking, did you have crushes on some of the All Blacks?
No, I didn't because I didn't actually develop that side.
Oh, because you're pushing it away. Yeah, that's quickly. Right.
Yep. Yeah. So I didn't develop that. But, you know, that's a good question, but no. But I obviously had players that I, you know, you watch and look up to and you idolise and that's always.
Yeah, I remember when I was growing up and I was thinking if I had to ever have a boyfriend, which I did feel quite funny to me to even think as a child, I thought that John Timu would be a really good option. Well, do you remember him?
Nice.
Yeah,
I do. And because John Timu went to the same school, high school that I went to. So,
small world.
Yeah.
You know, he was probably one of the few people that could have turned me back to being straight. Well, no, I never was. But anyway, yeah.
Hey, Chris.
Yes.
Do you want another very broad question? I've got a very broad question today.
Go on then.
What do you know about sports?
Up the Wazz! Go the Black Caps. And don't forget Premier League football.
Oh, you do love a bit of Premier League footy, don't you? What team is it that you support again?
Oh, the current champions, Manchester City.
I think they're pronounced Arsenal. It's pronounced Arsenal.
But you know what's good about football?
Yeah, what?
They don't regulate soccer. Right?
I'm sorry? There's a sport that regulates sock height?
Indeed there is, and it's cycling.
That's very strange. Why on earth do they regulate it?
Well, I know, but if you want to find out, you'll have to listen to the Big Stuff Quiz, wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, that's a cliffhanger indeed. The Big Stuff Quiz is brought to you by Melbourne Every Bit Different.
So it sounds like your mum and dad... So they sound amazing and I'd love to meet them and go and have a beer with them because they sound very cool. What about the first sort of friends that you told? How did they take it? Were people surprised or not at all surprised?
I think, yeah, there was a few people that were surprised. A couple of friends were surprised more for the fact of, you know, they just never suspected it. Mm. And because I'd done such a
good job of
such
playing.
A good
I'd
really, you know, driven that I'd really gone down that road of, a hetero white-blooded male. Like, I'd really, really sold that. But then there was, you know, other friends that sort of knew. But it was actually quite funny because a lot of friends never suspected, but their wives would say, or their girlfriends at the time or whatever would say, ah, yes, I kind of knew that.
Yeah.
I thought there was something around that.
Yeah.
Do you think? I thought there was something fishy.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think as well, I'm just thinking about, obviously you were a prop, right? Do you think that also fed into you having to be sort of that red-blooded male type thing? Do you think it would have been easier if you'd been like a back?
probably would have been
like a winger or something.
Yeah,
but the front row, everyone just in the, yeah, there is an expectation to be a certain way, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. It's probably the perfect position to hide in as well. Like that expectation is there. So
except that you do always have the locked hands between your legs in the scrum. So well, I don't know. Anyway, we digress.
Yeah.
But sorry about this, Campbell. Speaking about obviously that pressure to be a certain way as a male in sport specifically, what do you think we need to do or we can do to sort of change that and to help people either be less judgmental or feel more able to be who they are? Have you got any great tips for the universe?
I don't have any great quick solves, but I think we're slowly getting there, and we really are normalizing it. And that's what we talked about with Joe Malcolm and Rob Nicol when we decided to do the releases. That is that I was really in a place where I was very confident to do this and stand up and then stand by it and help people and try and really normalize it.
Yeah,
because I think that's the biggest fear is that. For example, when I was playing, there's always was a little bit of a witch hunt within the media to find the first gay All Black or the first gay rugby player.
Yeah.
And so they kind of knew as well while I was playing, like some of the media outlets knew, and they would come to Joe and say, yeah, we know, we want to run the story. And she would just like, I don't know what you're talking about. But I know.
So they'd sort of sniff around and we're going to do your outing for you.
They weren't going to out. They were just asking if they could. And then every time they were told no, they would back off because obviously they're quite, which was good. They were very respectful. And, I think it probably would have been, may have backfired it with them if they had done something like that, probably.
Yeah, but that's, you remember what happened with poor old Rebel Wilson? She got outed by the media.
Yeah.
I think some people do. Yeah. But, well, I'm glad that you didn't. And I'm glad that you got to do it in a really, obviously was a positive and a hugely impactful way that not only impacted sports people in New Zealand, but lots of people around the world. How long ago was it that you came out in the media? It wasn't that long ago, was it?
It was this year, end of January. Yeah.
And so did that change? How did that change your life in effect? Like, obviously the people around you knew anyway, but did anything change as a result of it going public and obviously getting a lot of attention?
It did really. Obviously, a lot of media requests and podcasts and things like that. Different organisations, wanting me to be a part of their charity and their cause and a few speaking things as well. But other than that sort of stuff, it didn't change too much. I mean, I suppose a few people who actually started to know who I was, which was that's always a nice thing in a good way.
Yeah.
And then on a kind of a funny side, rugby people who knew me as a rugby player who weren't a part of the teams that I played and weren't privy to the information found out that I was gay. And then a lot of my gay friends who have known me after I played rugby but didn't really know I played rugby, they would text me and say, was this a coming out story of you coming out as an All Black?
So it was like your two worlds were colliding.
So a lot of my friends from overseas who, didn't know that I, played rugby or that was like, oh, didn't know you played rugby. I didn't know you were an All Black.
I guess this is the thing. Is it actually easier to be an All Black who is gay or a gay who is an All Black? I don't even know if that's even a question, but did you have any negative attention?
No, not that I can think of. I don't think there was any negative attention whatsoever. Everyone was really positive and a lot of support, and a lot of people shared their negative experiences, which was quite sad. And really, all the responses was really humbling. Like people shared their stories of why they once played a sport that they loved, but they had to leave it because they didn't feel like they fitted the mold or the what it should be. And then they were saying in messages, now they actually feel that they can return to the sport and as a spectator or as a participant. So that was really cool that people were thinking about picking back up a sport they loved.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I think as well, obviously, like you said, it takes one person for others to follow. Someone's got to be a leader, and I think in this instance it was definitely you. And I think, moving forward, when are we going to have the next one, Campbell? Do we know? The next gay All Black, who's it going to be? Got any tips?
I'm not too sure. Maybe there's not another one. Maybe there isn't one playing, or maybe there isn't one, or maybe there's one slowly flying out.
Shout out now. If any of the All Blacks are listening and they'd like to come on Full Disclosure, you're more than welcome. So just get in touch.
Exactly, yeah.
So do you think as well, about the All Blacks, do you think there still is a bit of a stigma, or do you think it is getting better slowly but surely, but do you think there is still a stigma that exists against sort of high-level sports players who might be gay or bisexual?
I don't know if it's a stigma or against it. When they feel right, they're comfortable and they'll come out when they're ready. I tend to think because I've been around a few schools and just speaking at some schools and that, and I tend to think the younger generation has such a better handle on it all and a more open and accepting view of this world, which is so cool. So I think it will just completely normalise and there won't be that stigma. I mean, we never want to get away from the battle on the field and the combat and the aggression that's on the field, because, that's why we love the game rugby and the competition is why we love sport, but it's just, I guess it's just settling itself off the field and everyone just being comfortable to be themselves and everybody else accepting everyone else, I guess.
I mean, that's right. I mean, at the end of the day, if you are good enough to play for the All Blacks, it doesn't really matter who you fancy. If you're good enough to play that game of rugby at an international level, then you could be in love with anyone, really, surely.
Yeah, exactly. I just probably all boils down just to the old saying, just be nice.
I like to change that a little bit to don't be a dick. It's kind of the same version, but a little bit, a little bit more pointed. Oh, that sounds weird. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
He's got a certain punch to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Campbell, if you could give your young gay self any advice, and I feel like you've kind of talked to this a little bit already, but what advice would you give yourself as a young person?
Yeah, I think my advice would be try and not bury things down, try and just deal with them and because the sooner you can deal with the matters or the problems, the sooner you can move on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would probably be the advice I'd give to myself. And probably just, I'd also give my young self just a bit of advice just to say, you can dress a bit better than what you were dressing when you were younger.
Do you know the funny thing is when you started that, I was going to say, was it have better fashion sense? I don't know how I knew that, but we've obviously very in tune. All right, but my last question is, do you have 1056 tattooed anywhere on your body?
No, I don't have any tattoos on my body. I don't have that.
But soon you'll get tombstone on your chest when you had your wedding. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? And it could be in a tomb. No, hang on to those. Look, hey, Campbell, I'm starting to become more and more ridiculous, which is what I tend to do. But I just want to say thank you so, so much. This has been such an interesting and an enlightening chat. And I just feel like good on you for being, A, just a really great guy, B, an All Black, C, a gay man, D, all of the other things that you are. So thank you so much for chatting. And you have such a nice rest of your day in Napier. And keep being gay.
You too.
All right, bye-bye. See ya.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
This was Full Disclosure, a Stuff and Kale Productions podcast.
Thanks so much for listening. There's a new episode released every Tuesday. You can find them at stuff.co.nz/full disclosure or wherever you get your podcasts. If you follow us on Apple or Spotify or any of the podcast apps, you'll get the latest episode delivered automatically without lifting a finger. Thanks to creator and producer Kate Langdon, Stuff producer Jen Black, and executive producer Chris Reed, and audio editor John Ropiha, with original music by Eilish Wilson. Mā te wā, Aotearoa.
If you don't have time to read the in-depth stories, or you just prefer to listen instead, The Long Read from Stuff is the podcast for you. Each week we showcase one of our excellent pieces of journalism, telling important or entertaining stories from the world of crime, sport, history, culture, and more. You also get to hear from the journalists themselves about how they uncovered the story and how it came to life. So, for your weekly dose of long-form journalism, beautifully read, subscribe to The Long Read from Stuff wherever you get your podcasts.
I think you're conflating a whole bunch of issues.
You don't want to be held to account rising child abuse numbers.
You can manipulate crime statistics.
I promised I wouldn't have a tattoo about gotcha journalism.
Hang into the National Party's tagline there.
It would be a resignation offence if I didn't deliver tax reduction.
I'm not worried about it at all.
Nothing iffy in there. That sits with you perfectly fine.
That's what we're focused on.
Whatever happens in politics, the weird, the wonderful, the important, the thought-provoking, we got you. Listen to Tova wherever you get your podcasts.